In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Please be seated. Well, there's a lot packed into this short gospel passage. It's just a great story with lots of imagery in it. The wind was whipping water over the gunwales of their fishing boat. The waves were throwing the boat around like it was a toy boat in a bathtub. And the disciples were shouting to Jesus in order to wake him up, but also because they were fearful that they were about to die. Lord, don't you care that we're perishing? And Jesus answered his frightened disciples' plea by helping to calm the water with just a few words. Peace, be still, is all he had to say. And the winds calmed and the storm calmed. From the disciples' perspective, this was the end of life. They figured this was it. We are not going to survive this. And they looked and it seemed like Jesus didn't even care. But Jesus saw a completely different reality, didn't he? He knew that he was in control. After all, he was there when creation happened. He helped to create the seas. He helped to create the air and the wind. And so he certainly could rule over this little bit of chaos that was upsetting their boat on the lake. So there was a difference in perspective between this outward appearance that was in the awareness of the disciples, that this was a dangerous storm. And opposed to that was the inward reality that it could be controlled. And in fact, there is a pretty good purpose that could be served through it to prove how much power Jesus really has. And that it was a power they could trust in. There's another important insight, I think, that comes from this story about calming the storm when we think about the fact that these disciples in the boat were professional fishermen. They knew how to sail boats. They were very familiar with that lake. They'd fished it probably their whole lives. And so they knew how to read the weather. They knew how to read the signs. But that wasn't good enough this time, was it? It was out of their control. They couldn't whip up the weather channel on their smartphone and see what, you know, low-pressure front was moving in. And they found themselves caught by surprise with unexpected bad weather. And they reached the point eventually that they knew they couldn't handle it. And so it was time for them to ask for help. Well, in life, you and I can be prepared for a lot of things. We can handle a lot on our own, and I think we tend to try to do that a lot. We can get through changing our job and maybe having to move to a new town. Both of those things are pretty traumatic. We can fix conflicts in our schedules by deciding, no, I can't clone myself, so I'm going to have to pick among my conflicting events. But sometimes we find that when we try to change some details in our life, nothing happens. In fact, maybe the efforts we take even make it worse. Our health won't get better, or a broken relationship just isn't going to get fixed. And the more we try to change things, the more they seem unchangeable. We're in our own storm, just like the disciples, just caught in a storm. Or we're suffering our own hard times, just like Job was suffering hard times. And having our own shipwreck, just like Paul. And those are the times that Jesus wants us to remember that God's perspective on those events is a lot different from our own perspective. And we need to make room for God in the struggles. We need to be ready to ask him to take control. It made me think about this passage out of the Psalms that Dave was leading us in at the end of 27 and then 28. They were at their wits' end. It wasn't until then that they cried out to the Lord. Right? They waited till they were at wits' end. They cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. He delivered them from their distress. Making room for God seems so simple, and yet it ends up being one of the hardest things I struggle with all the time. I want to give you one example. When I arrived here, I already knew from meetings I'd had and telephone conversations with Dee and with Debbie that there were some significant problems with the preschool that were going to have to be addressed. And I had a good idea when I arrived what needed to change. But I also knew at the same time that it would be wrong and it would be hurtful for me to make changes before I've earned any trust. And so I really needed to take the time. And so while I was taking that time, I can't even count to you how many sleepless nights I had, that I'd wake up five times a night, and I just could not let go of, you know, what needs to happen and how can this get fixed and how can it be made better, and gee, I know how, but what's the way to do it, you know? And on my days off in our family room, I'd be pacing back and forth. Ruth's smiling because she remembers. I mean, this is a reality. I mean, it's just driving me nuts. And, of course, it finally got to the point that my dear bride, Ruthie, says, "So have you asked God to help with this yet?" "Oh, no, I hadn't thought of that. Sorry, you're right. I got to do that. I need to do that." And, you know, it's amazing what difference that makes. It's amazing to me that, I mean, it must be 1,000 times in our marriage that she's done that to me. And every time it helps. And I still have to learn by her telling me, "Have you asked God to help with this yet?" And it did make all the difference. Things changed in God's time. Things changed in God's way. And I am just so proud of where this preschool is now. And I know I say that a lot, but I say it because I want you to be proud and excited too, that this is a healthy place that's doing wonderful things for kids, and it's a blessing to the community, which means we get blessed. By us blessing those kids and blessing this community, we get blessed. Paul assures you and me that God's reign, and we talked about that last week, that God's reign means God's presence here and now, is something that we can live here and now. Paul relied on God to get through amazing things. I had to write the list down because it's so long and it's so scary to hear. He relied on God through afflictions, hardships, calamities, beatings, imprisonments, riots, labors, sleepless nights, and hunger. That's trouble. He knew that God was not going to protect him from those struggles. He knew he was going to go through them. He knew that was part of the journey through life, that those things do happen. But he knew that God was always going to save him through the struggles. God was going to strengthen him and get him through the struggles. So the story of Jesus calming the storm tells us a couple of things. First, that following Jesus does not show us that storms are never going to impact us. We already know that as followers of Jesus. It doesn't mean that. But our decision to ask Jesus to be in our life carries the promise that he will be with us and he will give us strength in the storms. The second item it tells us is how to live through the storms in our life. We need to make room for miracles. We need to fight off the temptation to say technology can explain it and scientific knowledge can solve it. Because, I mean, I'm a electrical engineer and worked in that industry for 30 years, and I know we don't know everything. And we need to accept that fact and be ready to invite God to be in our life. There's so many times in our life that surprising things happen. And we would lose the awareness of God's presence if we decided we were going to give all that up to just be chance. It's not chance. It's a God incident. So we need to be on the outlook for miracles. And we need to be aware of the time that it's time to let go. Or just give Ruth a call and she'll tell you. She's trained by being with me. As we try to survive the chaotic moments in our life, and as it appears to us that our Lord is asleep through it all, I think we should think about this story that we read today. Because the question for each of us to ask ourselves is, how big is my God? How big is my God? I want to offer it to you as a way of closing my homily here, a wonderful short prayer I found from the 17th century French mathematician. He was also a theologian, Blaise Pascal. Lord, help me to do great things as though they were little, since I do them with your power. And little things as though they were great, since I do them in your name. Amen.